Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
It's our fantasy baseball draft.
Your fantasy what?
It's a fantasy baseball. I told you all about this. Got Matsui.
All your fantasy sports updates.
It's a numbers game.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
All right, hour number two. Happy Father's Day from me to you. From not just me, from Sammy, from Justin, from everybody here at the Horn. Everybody out there that are fathers. Happy Father's Day. June 20th. It's supposed to be a really good day. My man Ricky Cody TV's got us out a beautiful day today, man.
It does look gorgeous outside. Perfect day for Father's Day. You grilling today? I know you had the honeydews yesterday.
I'm not afraid to admit this. I am not like the best grill master.
That's okay.
You know what I mean?
I don't think anybody's really a great grill master.
There's some people out there that got some touch.
Oh, definitely.
There really is.
Definitely.
But I'm the guy that puts the meat on the grill, and I constantly sit there and I'm so damn impatient. Like, I gotta mess with it. I gotta flip it six or seven times because I like mine rare. Like, I like mine just warm it up. You know what I mean? Like, I like the blood coming out of it.
I'm with you.
I'm different. Some people, that ain't everybody's forte. That ain't everybody's cup of tea, man.
It's not bad to get the extra iron.
So I like to get all the nutrients and all the mineral, or just all the goodness out of the meat, man.
Yeah.
What my granddad used to say is if you cook it too long, you cook all the nutrients out of the meat. So
exactly.
And I don't know why you would want it charred. Like, that's just awful.
Oh,
like that's like I've seen.
I do like burnt ends, like on brisket and stuff, which is fine, you know. But I still have to have like the actual brisket moist, you know, cooked well. It can't just be like charred all the way through.
Don't get me wrong, I like it moist, and I like a good, nice little brisket's different. I like it charred.
True, very true.
Brisket's different than steak.
Oh, okay.
Like if you're charring a steak, that you're just wrong. You know what I mean? Like, but steak brisket, I like it a little bit done. I don't like it so lean, you know, or what is it, cutter's choice? I don't know what they.
I'm not exactly sure. I would never order that.
I'm not sure what the term is here. All my meat connoisseurs and
carnivores
out there are gonna have to call us in here and let us know. But anyways, you know, I'm not really the best grill master. I have to admit that. So I don't know what we're gonna do. I don't know if we're gonna go out to dinner tonight. I don't know what we're. What are you guys gonna do for Father's Day? Father's, how are you gonna celebrate it?
I do want to preface that real quick. I know you have to move on, but
no, we're good. I mean,
but
it's the Wagner Wire.
It is funny because the most Austin moment I ever had, most Austin hipster moment I've ever had. I was invited to a house party and they wanted to grill, and then none of the other dudes there knew how to work the grill. So I was like,
"What do you mean, like not even get like started?"
They couldn't get it started. They didn't know how to cook.
Was it a manual grill?
Like you had to start the fire.
With charcoal.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But like they had no clue. Like, you know, this is basic stuff. I can admit this, and you know, man, I wouldn't exactly say that I'm like the most manly of men. Like I can do a few basic things.
You can change
things.
Tire, right?
Oh yeah, okay. Easily.
You change your oil, right?
Yeah, but I couldn't build you a house. You know, I'm not going to try to do the plumbing by myself. I can't fix my car, but I can do the basic things.
If you had like a station to where you could easily just put your car up on a ramp and then get rid of all your hazmat materials without any hustle, you'd change your oil.
Oh, yeah.
Your car,
yeah,
right?
I think I could do it easily.
You'd go buy the oil, you'd buy the filter.
Yeah, you know, watch a few YouTube ramp. Videos, figure it out. Well, I changed my own headlights like that.
I don't even think you need to watch a YouTube video. It's pretty self-explanatory.
You know? Some places.
Or I don't know. I took shop in school. So.
Oh, see, we didn't even have that.
That's wild.
Nah, man.
You guys didn't have auto shop or wood shop?
I come from a really poor school district.
Well, I come from Baltimore. Like, they had that at Poly.
I come from the second poorest school district in the state of Texas.
Oh, damn.
We didn't have those things. But we had a really nice football stadium.
I just assumed Maryland had. Maryland public education was bad.
I would have to look at the numbers, but it might be increased. But, you know, if you ever want to feel...
We do like to go inside the numbers.
Like, you know, like a god among men, being a place where nobody else knows how to work the grill, and you're the only one there, and there's a lot of lovely ladies watching. Yeah, yeah, that was the most impressive thing that has ever happened to me.
I feel like I'll never get it right. Like, I'll never get your order right.
They don't need to have it right at that point. You started the food. They were going to not eat if I couldn't get the fire started. So at that point,
I do like a burnt hot dog though.
Yes. Yes.
I do like a nice crispy hot dog.
Like the people that don't want to char, you know, you went plumped a little bit, kind of breaking through. That's the best.
Yeah, that is the best. What do you put on your hot dog?
Man, I'm not a big connoisseur of like toppings on my hot dog unless I'm going to a place that they're going to serve me like a Chicago style dog. But most of the time, just plain, honestly.
Okay, so I gotta have mustard, like have spicy brown, it. Spicy brown mustard. Like I can get away without relish. I prefer relish for the second condiment and the second, just like it just brings the hot dog all together.
Yeah,
when it just slides down your gullet and your palate.
See, I'm just not like a regular yellow mustard person.
Not yellow mustard, yeah. Spicy brown mustard.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, oh, you know, I have to get fancy. Once I get those toppings, though, I'm game. But most of the time, just plain.
Okay, so when you go to, I can't remember the boomstick, but. Like the boomstick.
You know, like from Evil Dead?
No. The boomstick. That's a great, great call out. I think they call it the boomstick after Nelly Cruz from
oh, you mean the hot dog at Texas Rangers?
The Texas Rangers.
That long.
Yeah. I can't remember. Like, I think that's what it's called. But I haven't had that. But at Camden Yards on, Utah Street, man, they have this. It's a sauteed onions, but it's a. Like a grilled bratwurst with, you know, beer brats, and you put the spicy brown mustard
on
there, and you have a little bit of, they put some Old Bay on there too, give you a little bit of Maryland flavor. Oh, it
goes on everything, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it gives you that crab flavor, you know what I mean? It just reminds you of crabs, you know what I mean? Like, crabs are so good.
No, man, I'm sorry, crabs not being from so the East good. Coast, we're just no, not used to it.
We got our own chips, bro.
I know
we
you do.
We got our own Utz crab chips. We got somebody on the line. Who's on the line, Sammy? We got somebody on the line. Who? Stu Myrick. Come on
Stu
in, Stu Myrick.
Myrick.
What Stu Myrick want to talk about?
Impromptu tag team run.
Oh, yeah, look at this. I'm getting... all of a sudden, it's like Demolition. Yeah, all you wrestling fans out there, all of a sudden, it's like Demolition. Axe and Smash were in here. Crush.
Hold on. No. If you're going to compare me and Smash to a tag team, there is only... one tag team.
Let me hear it, baby.
Sure as hell not Demolition.
What is it?
It's the guys Demolition copied.
Let me hear it.
Had a tag team ever to lace them up. The Road Warriors.
Yeah, man. Axe and Smash. Or wait, that was Animal and Hawk. Yeah, yeah. Man.
Rest
Hawk
in peace, both
Animal.
Of them, man.
Animal was one of my dearest friends. I loved him to death.
So, sidelines, Stu, what do we got going on, man? How is we all just right. had Phil West come on and recount a little bit of the situation. What do you got to say?
All right, so you boys need a little help with grilling and smoking.
Yes, well, smoking, I think we got covered.
Yeah, we got the smoking down, Phil.
Okay.
Or, excuse me, Stu.
Smoking meat.
All right. I'm an East Coaster. I don't know how to do it, brother.
You got to leave it alone. I know the impatient thing. You got to leave it alone. You know, the proper steak grilling is... flip it once. That's it. So, you know, you gotta let it cook. And smoking, that's the bigger patience because, you know, a proper smoke, you're talking about 13, 14 pound brisket, that's gonna be on the smoker for at least 8 to 10 hours.
So when the hell you get that thing started? Like 5 a.m? 6 a.m?
Something like that. Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, you just came, back from Boy Scouts where you guys do your smoke out and then that thing goes on for, multiple days?
How was Lost Pines?
We do a thing. We call it the meat-a-thon where we smoke briskets for our summer camp program. We smoked, this year, we only smoked about 1,400 pounds.
That's it. Jeez.
We usually do 3,400, but because of, you know, restrictions and limited capacity and all that good stuff, we didn't need as much. That took us from start to finish constant. It took us about 30 hours.
3-0.
That was, yes, 3-0. Now, there was a bunch of us out there. There was probably about 15 of us out there. And it was, you know, constant pull them off the smoker, get them cooled down to where you could handle them, trim them, slice them, package them in vacuum packages, and put them in our walk-in freezer. But it's still a pretty good process.
But I mean, it did come out nicely. You gave me some. I still have some in the freezer because I've been trying to find the perfect like pairing to utilize the rest of it. Because it was really that good. You guys need to just start selling that stuff. But let me ask you real fast, dude. You were out at the stadium last night. How was the atmosphere to you?
You know, Justin, you are my soccer savant.
Thanks.
And so what I've learned of soccer, I learned from you.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing now.
Well, you know, hey, I gotta lean on my experts. It was electric. You knew it was going to be electric. I got in the stadium about 5:30 because they asked media to get there early.
You're pretty close to the stadium too, Stu. How long did it take you for your commute?
7 minutes, maybe.
Okay, so you got in like a sweet spot.
Yeah.
How about leaving?
Leaving wasn't too bad. You know, I waited till, you know, I kind of did like what I usually do with Cowboys games. I gave it about an hour or so, maybe not even that. And then once I got back to my car, it was get on, burn it, and head home.
Burn it, darn it.
Yeah. Nice. So, but it was electric. It was what you would imagine for the first ever Major League Soccer match, first ever major pro sports franchise in Austin. You know, McConaughey sporting the green and black tux, and he's beating the drum for the supporter groups. I mean, for a 0-0 tie or a draw, as they say,
mm-hmm.
it was about as entertaining as you could expect. And I know the story was a lot of the story was about, you know, how much energy would Austin FC have after being on the road for the first part of the season, that grind of 8 matches right on the road. So,
well, they had to be reinvigorated or just galvanized with, 20,500, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs, cheering them on. Like, I imagine San Jose had a tough time, you know, trying to communicate and plan. I mean, San Jose is the middle of the pack in the West, but, you know, I was expecting us to come away victorious, but I'll take the point. You know what I mean? I'll take the point. Yeah. It's better than not getting anything at all.
You got to take the point, and, you know, the players and the coaches stayed on the field after the match was over, you know, paid their gratitude to the supporter group, stood out there for a good 10-15 minutes. Even San Jose, they gave props
right
to the Austin crowd. You know, they were impressed.
Well, it's got to motivate them too, right, Stu? You would have to think that, man, you know, it'd be really cool, you know, if our fan base would come out and show out like this.
Absolutely. Now, you know, of course, now the question is, can they sustain this? Not sure. Only for the rest of this season, but have enough energy to come back for season two.
Right. No, I feel you there, Stu. All right, buddy. Well, we really appreciate you calling in and letting us know what was going on, especially the tips for going low and slow for that brisket there, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Not a problem. Y'all have a good one.
You too, my man. There he goes. Stu Myrick. Always good to talk to my friend, Stu.
Yeah, make sure you catch
us. You know
what?
We should write a book, My Friend Stu.
My
He's
friend
everywhere,
Stu. Sideline Stu. Sideline Stu. Speedway
Suplex
Stu.
Suplex Stu. Soccer Stu.
Yeah, man.
Soccer Stu. Oh, they just always in that Stu pot, man. Good stuff. All right, let's talk. I mean, so we've talked a little bit about it on our domestic front here, but let's talk about what's going on across the pond there. What's going on here with Euros? Who's your squad here? You got three. I mean, you're wearing Italia, but you're a three Lions guy.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I know they're already through.
Not necessarily.
That's what you think.
You just, I mean.
I don't want to jinx them. I'm sorry.
Admittedly.
They look good, man. They look good.
They look okay. They did not look good against Scotland, but hey, Chelsea. Billy Gilmore.
There you go, man.
Who would have thought Billy Gilmore was going to be player of the match? I mean, Scotland fans should be excited. It's always good to have the Tartan Army a part of a huge tournament. Obviously, the first big one since World Cup 98.
You think Three Lions overlooked them?
Oh, definitely.
Right.
But I'm
That's
also
exactly
thinking.
That's what I felt.
I'm also thinking that we know that the top two teams of the group of four automatically get through, and then they're going to take a few of the top third place teams. So just getting the point was the most important, and I think at this part of the group stage is all about not showing your hand too early, because you're going to want to save maybe some players that are not healthy, or maybe some tactics for those knockout round stages.
Sure, absolutely. When you, don't want to tip it.
Exactly. And there's a lot of great talent for England that hasn't really seen the pitch. I mean, Jadon Sancho. I mean, he has not played at all. But this guy is one of the biggest names going in the transfer market. Everybody's talking about picking him up. But he hasn't featured for his country yet. It's been Phil Foden and Raheem Sterling up front. And, I mean, while the criticism will always be, is like, can England get it done? We'll see if Southgate comes up with the right starting 11. But he has a lot of options to go for. But today, Italy is playing. So we're going to see the end of Group A, hence the jersey.
Wales. Huh? Can Bale come out?
Yes, man. This has been one of the most beautiful stories of the Euro, is that we're getting to see the old man game of Gareth Bale. And you know it, man. Father Time catches us all.
It does, dude.
It really does.
What's that line from Sturgill Simpson? Said my son, have some fun. Someday gonna wake up old and gray. I mean, I feel that, man.
I was downtown last night, and I was like, man, my game used to be much better 10 years ago. Not necessarily there now, but, you know, it's just time. Things change. Not as spry as it used to be. And while Bale is playing like that, all the other facets of his game are still spot on. He's still a playmaker, kind of like Zlatan. You know, losing the pace.
I think he just finds his position. Like,
he knows what to do.
I think the ego for Bale, like, whereas we know Zlatan has, like, one of the biggest egos in the world. But, yeah. I mean, the dude, he can walk behind, like, he carries that ego very well. Whereas I think Bale has realized that he now is a role player. Like, he doesn't have to be like, all right, well, I have to have possession of the ball all the time. You know, it has to be me leading the attack in the last third. He can acquiesce and be like, what's the best place for me to allow our team to succeed and get the most out of this match?
Exactly. He didn't play a whole lot.
That's a leader, Justin.
Exactly. He didn't play a whole lot for Spurs, but when he did get on the pitch.
Effective minutes.
Exactly. And that's
kind of like Frankie Lampard in his later years with Chelsea and in Man City.
Yes, unfortunately, it didn't necessarily translate to the coaching ranks, but in all in due time, I suppose, for Frankie Lampard.
Hey, hold on. Wait. We have to give him a little bit of credit, though. He assembled that squad.
That is true. Like, he got it halfway there.
I agree with a lot of, you know, pundits out there. He was in a little bit over his head, you know what I mean? But he understood the talent. He had tremendous, and maybe that's a big part of his game is scouting and understanding talent and coming up. And, of course, all the talent coming up through the Academy of Chelsea, it's pretty easy to see. They are young and they are loaded. So is Man City. But, I mean, this is talent coming up through the Academy.
This is true, but, I mean, one of the biggest differences was signing Kai Havertz. And he's also proving his worth right now with Germany.
The biggest tag we've ever had, man. That's a hefty price tag. And he did. He had a nice goal. He had a nice match with Germany the other day.
Yeah, they beat Portugal. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo getting another goal score. I mean, to think that Ronaldo is 36 and getting it done. Like, he's playing like he's 28. It's crazy how good Ronaldo is.
That's the thing. Like, I know it's unfair to compare him and Messi. Like, it just takes away from the games to them. Or excuse me. I misspoke. It takes away from the game if you compare those two, because they're different players. They're different. They play different positions, and Messi does a little bit more with the ball. Cristiano Ronaldo puts it in the back of the net. Like, you know his mission. It's to score. Messi is to set people up on a platter and score if he has to. Like, he can score. He's got a wicked left foot. We know that.
We're not probably going to talk too much Copa America, but for Argentina's sake, yeah, they need Messi to score all the time because he saved them in the last match too. But they did get a win in their match previously, so they're in decent shape. But you go back to what you were saying there with Germany, and it's like, or excuse me, with Cristiano, it's like, yeah, Portugal, you have to remember the defending champions, but they're also dealing with age now. They have some younger guys that make them exciting. You think of a player like, who I really feel hasn't really showed up too much, but like Bruno Fernandes from Manchester United, who arguably was probably the best player in the Premier League. In fact, it was his Portuguese teammate.
You expect him to step up, right? I mean, dude, they got a tough draw there. They got a bad. A wicked.
That
group.
Is the group
you're
of
in
death.
There, you're in there with Germany and France, man. I mean, hungry. I mean,
and you can't overlook Hungary now exactly. Because he took the world champions to a 1-1 draw. Granted, they played in Budapest, but they scored first.
Exactly.
And France was struggling to get that goal late, and then after that, France looked much more dangerous. But that was gutsy performance by a minnow in Hungary. You still have dark horses though, like Austria, and you get to see the greatness that is David Alba. I mean, he is one of the best players in the world, but since he plays for Austria, you're never going to hear him really competing for a World Cup. A competition like this, where a dark horse, all they have to do is get through, and a player like him, where he can play anywhere on the pitch, can make a huge difference and might lead Austria to the next round of the knockout stage.
So before we get too far ahead, do you think Portugal survives Group F?
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to be one of the top third place teams just on goal differential, even if they don't come away with the points that they need. But, I mean, it would be a travesty not to have Cristiano in the next round.
Exactly.
So I think they're going to find a way. Cristiano will... And they just had a bad game. I mean, two own goals. They said this is the most own goals.
You can't come back from that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just disheartening. And one of them was committed by Ruben Dias, who was the Premier League Player of the Year this past year. A young, good defender.
Man, you love plugging your Man City boys, don't you?
Is that my fault that he was good? And they're missing Joao Cancelo because of COVID.
Who won Champions League real quick? Can you say that for me real quick?
Chelsea.
I just need... Hold on. Can you elaborate?
Chelsea.
No, expand on that a little bit more. Chelsea what? Chelsea, I don't know. Chelsea Midtown, New York? Chelsea what?
Chelsea out of London.
What are they?
The Blues.
Yeah. What are they, a football club?
Yeah.
Yes, they are. They. Yes.
Yes, those guys okay. That won. The one that
it
have
pains
the...
pains you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does still. Because, I mean, this
I'm
was
not
supposed...
a sadist. I don't like to see pain. But, no. You know, you're sitting here plugging all your Man City stuff here.
Well, you should have said that Christian Pulisic was in town.
Oh, yeah, that's... I mean, he was there for the... United, or excuse me, not United, women's national team, right?
His brother's one of the goalkeepers. And,
That's for Austin FC. Yeah.
So he was here, you know, scouting around. He was at the stadium store, and then Gio Reyna popped in to Austin as well.
That's
so I mean,
crazy.
Like, you know, some of the best players in the world were
They're
here.
Just gonna show up here. That's
yeah,
just nuts.
And one of your boys, one of the Blues, happened to be here. But you know, I'm glad that the Euro, you know, the Champions League ended with a English club. You know, it really is the best league in the world.
It is. The Premier League is the best. Best league in the world. Hey, you know, I wasn't able to get out there for Austin FC and see the first game at Q2, but I was able to watch it at my house, and it's only because of audiovisual consultations. Tom McKay and audiovisual consultations have just set me up for success. I have two 50-inch flat-screen TVs in my house. We have another 55-inch TV downstairs for our home theater system because my wife can't even come in and watch, you know, on the other TV because... My son Bogarts it with, you know, with all the video games. So regardless of what you need, if it's a rainy day out there and you want to get out to the golf course but you can't, call Tom McKay up, 512-255-8678. Maybe you can put a golf simulator in your house, too. They can do that. They have things that they would blow your mind. If you don't know what you want in your house, go to the gallery of projects or go to the website, avconsultations.com, and look at the gallery of projects that they've done over the past 31 years. They set the standard in audiovisual automation. They will give you an idea of what you want to craft in your mind. So what's the hesitate right now, man? Get on it. Audiovisual consultations, 512-255-8678. That's how I took in the game, Justin.
I mean, you do have a really sweet setup. I know you have those two screens plus your Twitch stream all set up in that room.
Yeah, man, you have to. Like, and if you can't get out to see it at the venue itself, you got to set yourself up for success.
Yeah, you basically have like that whole surround thing going on. The Switch is pretty sweet. And the lighting.
The light wall, I mean, I had to invest a little bit. Oh, yeah, the lighting is the backlight.
Yeah, man, that's
about?
Sweet.
Yeah, that is. That's
really ties the room
that's
together.
That's Govee. That's the rug, dude. Rug really ties the room together. No, so all that is Govee lights.
Okay.
They literally cost like $20.
Wow, I mean,
and you just you can, you know, turn them on with your phone. You switch the colors with your phone.
What?
You can put them on to where it goes with music.
It's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet, man. And you do the backlight stuff. It's legit.
I mean, after I heard people getting their air condition messed with because they're on the internet thing,
I don't know how I feel about
those lights now.
I haven't been doing that. I haven't been streaming since we've been supposed to be conserving energy, so that's why I've held off on the streams.
Totally understandable. Everybody doing their part?
But,
I put it up to 78.
But I got to watch the match, and I got to be able to watch the NBA playoffs too, man. How about that? So we talked a little bit about that last week, right? And we're going to talk to Al Walsh here at the bottom of the hour. He's going to elaborate and expand a little bit on his Brooklyn Nets.
Ooh.
Tough exit, man. But the Bucks, The Bucks are a tough team for a reason. Actually, and I called it. Like, I said that the Nets were going to take it. Like, I thought it was Nets all the way. Even though, you know, the Sixers and the Bucks are they were basically 1 and 2 going up throughout the entire year. I just thought, regardless, this is the super team that was assembled. Now, look, I get that injuries suck and injuries hurt. Like, if Kyrie Irving, and I hate doing this. I do. I hate the hypothetical, you know, if it's in butts for candy and nuts, what a great world it would be. But you can't deny the fact that if Kyrie Irving is healthy on this team, it's a different. We might not even go to 7 games. This might have been over in 6.
Oh, they were built.
And that's no disrespect to the Bucks, man. It's just how well assembled the Nets were.
I don't think there's any disrespect taken with that statement. I mean, you think about how important Kyrie has been over the career of LeBron James. I mean, you can go back to one of those Cavs runs with him and Kevin Love get hurt. Oh,
dude, Kyrie was making a lot of those shots.
Yeah, if he doesn't get hurt in that playoffs, maybe that finals, maybe he and LeBron have an extra ring to their resume. You also think about the fact that this Nets team was comprised kind of like the Lakers were last year, where it was around their superstars mainly, and the bench was a little bare. Granted, they did have to deal with injuries. Spencer Dinwiddie,
right,
or Dinwiddie, he was out for the rest of the year. That was one of their key components coming off of the bench. Obviously, you had the injuries. James Harden wasn't 100%, but you know James Harden tends not to show up in big-time playoff games anyways. That's always his knock.
I mean, you could tell that he was hurt. Like, yeah. He was just, he didn't have the spring and that he usually has. He didn't have the acceleration, the explosiveness that he used to.
Yeah, I mean, what, he had like 26 or something.
He couldn't get by his defender.
Yeah, he had 26 points, but it wasn't the James Harden 26 where he really, his passing really helps out his team. And
it was because, I think Drew was on him a few. Now, that's, and we know Drew's a great guard. Like, Drew's one hell of a guard on
the Holiday,
rim, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, even then, it's just like a caliber of a person like James Harden with his traditional play when he's healthy. You just, you get a lot more from him. You just weren't unable to get it because he was hurt. And then you think about KD coming off of a game where he played every single minute.
Played every minute in this one.
And I don't know about you or the people who watched it. I'm interested to see what Al's going to say about this. But last night, I'm watching this game with my roommate, my cousin, right? And we see KD take that shot, that one that he misses. And I look at my cousin, I'm like,
fatigue.
Father Time just zapped him right before our eyes. He doesn't have it anymore.
He does.
But the injury, man, like, you can't tell me that he's
100%. He's got it.
He'll never be 100% again after the Achilles injury.
No. I don't feel that way. I felt like when I saw that, I was just like, man, that dude is just exhausted.
Well, obviously.
He was getting big-time shots,
man. But I think the injury plus this series aged him that much more.
You can argue that, but, I mean, I think, you know, Zay and I talked about this a lot, man, and this didn't affect KD because he didn't play last year, but a lot of those guys, there's just wheels on the tires, man. There wasn't enough efficient rest in between. But
that's
in between
a hard
seasons.
Injury to come back from for a basketball
100%,
player.
But, Justin, to me, he looked great. He looked good. And going every minute, you know, the game before that, and then, you know, running it to the max on this game as well. Coming up, to me, it just looked like it looked, because the shot was on, it just looked like fatigue. And he didn't have an ounce of pain. He didn't wince or whatever when he shot. He followed through and he was like, oh.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's that Father Time. You know, you're expecting to have that extra spring at the end of the game, and you just don't have it anymore. It looked like he was just zapped right there instantaneously before our eyes. I'm sorry. When people say after the performance that he had in Game 6 where he could be the best player in the world, not while there's a man named LeBron James still playing.
He's the best player in the world, in my
opinion.
He
didn't show it last night.
I thought
he tried, but the best player in the world makes that shot. Michael Jordan makes that shot. LeBron James makes that shot. KD just couldn't get it done.
No,
I
disagree with you.
It was a hard deal for KD.
He just made the shot to tie the game, though. Like,
yeah.
Like 2 minutes before that.
Yeah, well, Kawhi Leonard made the shot to win the game.
No, I see your point, but I disagree.
I'm sorry. If you are the best player
in the world.
If you're going to have to take over to be the number one on the team and you can't get it done, I mean, we give the slack to Gobert. He didn't get it done.
Giannis,
if he lost this series, it would all have fallen to him. LeBron took it when they couldn't win this year. I'm pretty sure the only person that probably was a number one that didn't get blamed in the playoffs for losing, there's two people, Dame and Luka.
I think Luka
those guys
got blamed.
Carried.
I think Luka got blamed too, though, right? Well, Porzingis got a lot of the blame.
As he should, making
for sure.
The money he has.
For sure. But I mean, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying I disagree. I think he's the best player in the world.
And that's the point of having this conversation. Yeah. You know, I'm just like, I already have my KD bias.
You know,
right?
Walsh is gonna come at you.
Walsh
is listening at right now. Probably he's gonna be like, oh, I got something for.
I'm looking
he's
forward
coming
to hearing
off
it.
Of a drunken hang.
I mean, I'm coming off of a late night from Sixth Street too. So who knows?
No, I feel. I agree. Like the big time players make those shots. LeBron's made those shots. He's also missed those shots.
Yeah.
So I think. But when last night. I mean, also you really do have to take in consideration the fatigue level. Like you can't. I don't think it's Father Time. I don't think he's done. I think he was just zapped because he played the entire game last game, and he also played every minute. You know, last night as well.
Yeah,
and
he
did. He did not have much. Like Bruce Brown was out there making plays happen. You know, extending possessions and whatnot. Because
he had to.
Because really, there was no one else out there. Harden. Was a shell out there, basically.
Unfortunately.
Almost like a decoy. So everything was on the shoulders of KD. You've even, like, at
But LeBron's
Cleveland,
done it?
No, he did not. Not when Kyrie was hurt. You just told me that he didn't.
He couldn't, but that was to the finals. But he's taken a team by himself to the finals. KD could never
that he
do
hasn't.
That. And if you're going to go off and join a super team, and you're asked to be the number one, you got to win.
You
got to
do that. I understand that.
When the moment calls for it.
But I'm not saying you're wrong.
He lost to Chris Middleton.
I'm not saying he lost to Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And Chris Middleton.
And Drew Holiday. Like, don't sleep on that. Like, this was the number. I mean, look at their mixed minus. I'm talking audio here. Look at their minus plus minus minutes or plus minus score differential. I mean, that'll tell the tape as well. Hey, we don't go nowhere. We got Al Walsh coming on. We're going to continue this conversation. Is KD done? I don't think so, my man. I don't think so. But Justin makes a really good, valid point. I just think he got zapped by, not Father Time, by fatigue. Old man age. Old man, he needed a little bit more juice in his legs. Hey, don't go nowhere. It's the Wagner Wire. Having great conversations on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagon Wire. Those of you that don't know this, when we first started out, again, in the gestation period of the Wagon Wire back in 2015, back when this was a project at UT for sports management, that's how this started.
Man, that's crazy that
this started
that
as
long.
This started as a, just as a project, like to get a grade. Got an A on it, but...
Yeah. Not just for effort either.
No, and then it turned into a little blog. Then it turned into a podcast, and then it turned into the Horn giving me a shot here. And what do you know?
And then it turned into like 3 hours of radio.
What do you know?
What did you get on the Wagner Wire for your
a.
grade?
Got
an A on the Wagner Wire.
Yeah,
we got an A plus show, boys.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, from UT, from the 40 Acres. What do they call it? A public Ivy.
Yeah,
public Ivy
the
League?
Public Ivy.
I mean, that class was really skate, though. really skate. But this was, so when it all started, like, Walsh was my first part. Like, Walsh,
oh, for real?
Walsh was the dude. We invite Al, you know, we welcome Al Walsh onto the show right now on the Vicarious Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is the obligatory go-to, regardless of if he's going to moan and groan like a man or just like a little baby here. But, you know, he always brings good content. He's got a great pulse on all the green that you need in your pocket. But, yeah, so Al was my partner in crime when we first got this thing started. And Dear Mr. Fantasy by Traffic was one of the songs that we came on because it was, you know, a very fantasy centric show at the time, man. And we had, you know, we had one of our third guys that would do his show from the bathroom, and it was like a big echo in there, man. Walsh, we've come a long way, buddy. We've come a long way. Welcome to the show, brother. How you doing, man?
You're right. Nick did do the show from his bathroom.
He did.
That is a fact. We ran that by the fact checkers, and they came back as true with that one.
He did. Like, and we even asked him. We said, Nick, dude, are you in your bathroom? Yeah, man. I was like, yeah, dude. We can hear the echo, bro, and we can see the towel hanging up on the wall. Like, what's going on? Are you sitting on the toilet?
We all, We all went on to some bigger, better sorts of things. We got our name out there. We moved out of the bathroom, proverbially, and we got ourselves on the main street. By the way, happy Father's Day to you, Wag.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
it. And then everybody out there who's listening, I'm going to have some lunch with my dad today. I'm going to celebrate Father's Day that way. But, yeah, just, let's celebrate the great guys out there.
That's what I'm talking about, man. It takes more it really does. It takes more than just, making a baby to be a dad, man. And like Justin said in hour number one, shout out to all those dads that aren't the biological fathers that hang around and actually give mentorship and guidance to all those kids.
Indeed.
Well, Walsh, I mean, I know you're a little bit of heartbreak hotel, man. Are you good? Are you all right, bud? You sound all right.
This is a safe space.
I think so. I made the mistake of watching the game with a friend of mine who's a Knicks fan, and he wouldn't shut the hell up. And he's like, talking about decks and this and that. I'm like, bro, we're up 5. We need to hold this lead right now. But yeah, I mean, just an absolute heartbreaker. I mean, you go to overtime, to have that Durant shot, to take it to overtime. Just to, all these different injuries along the way. I said before the season, I don't care what happens, injuries or whatever, a Final Four, being in the Final Four teams, would have been a success for the next season. Just, you got a whole lot of pieces playing together for the first time this season. And, they fell short of that expectation. And, we can go back, we can look at, I could probably go back and look at every possession from this game that did not include Kevin Durant coming down the court and just, putting up a mid-range jumper, and then we're going back down and playing defense. But other than that, it was a tough series for the Nets. And, obviously that's why they're not playing any more basketball this season.
And Walsh, last segment, I even said it, man, I hate to play like the hypothetical game, but you can't deny it. If Kyrie Irving's in that contest and James Harden's healthy, it's not even a different game. It's a different series. So
yeah,
and that's like that's a cop out, bro. Like we get it. Like I understand that's a cop out. You got to talk about what the results at hand, but still, it plays a part.
As I can't say the actual joke on the air, but if there's a famous saying, if the queen had a certain part of the anatomy, she would be the king.
Yeah, you definitely can't say.
But. we have all these hypotheticals that, we can go into and this and that. Just end of the day, they did not get enough stops at the end. And, it's just there wasn't enough.
Right. That's a great way to put it. There just wasn't enough.
Walsh, let me ask you, how do you feel about the job that head coach Steve Nash did this year? First year head coach, obviously an awesome player, but that doesn't always translate into an awesome coach. How do you feel that he handled those big egos that he had to fulfill on this team this year?
I didn't think he did a good job, to be quite honest.
Really?
There were a lot of times that, and we saw it a lot in this series. It was actually the opposite of Game 7 started out the opposite way that we saw. Like, typically in this series, we saw the Bucks get out to a double-digit lead early, and then the Nets would have to kind of fight and claw their way back in the game. But a lot of times, I think that bleeding could have been stopped earlier. You call a timeout, just get everybody in check. I know one of those games is in Brooklyn, but, I've seen this a lot on the road with the Nets where they'll get off to, either a bad start or they'll just have, a very lax minute, and it happened last night. I went out to walk the dog right before the second half. I come back. The Bucks are finishing up an 11-0 run.
Right,
to the corner. I didn't take him around the block. All I did was take him to the end of the block and came back. Right? And you're telling me there's an 11-0 run by that point? No. Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Yeah, you can't win like that. You can't.
That's how my life is judged now, by dog walks.
that's how you quantify how people going on runs and stuff like that. No, I love it, man. It's another good metric when in terms of making runs. Dog walks, and if they're going ones or if they're going twos.
See, Wag, see, Father Time gets us all.
Dude, I'm telling you, we got it. I want to address that too, what Justin and I was talking about last segment. But also, like you mentioned it, it didn't happen this year. Can the pieces still remain in place for it to happen next year?
Yeah, and I think, Joe Harris is a very interesting piece, right? Because he was so big for this team, but he was useless the entire season.
Yeah, that's true.
Just straight up useless. And I hate to say that because Harris is the last or the longest tenured net remaining from the rebuild. You know, he's the only guy that's left. They traded away Caris LeVert and Jared Allen to get Harden, you know, to bring him in here in that deal. So, you know, I certainly don't want to trash the guy, but you have to be honest. He was good, and he's
right.
And he's making a ton. He's making almost $20 million a year. So, you know, that you cannot have that kind of performance. You cannot have wide open jump shots missed. That's... when you're making $20 million. Yeah, I tell all my friends that have kids right now. I tell them, put them into basketball. Teach them how to learn to shoot free throws and a three-pointer. They'll be making more money than you and your husband combined, you know, like over the course of their career. You just that's the going rate for a three-point shooter in the NBA right now. It's like $15, $20 million a year. So that's an interesting piece, right? Because Harris's defense, which is usually, it's usually good. It really wasn't that great in this series. So, he's the one piece to look at this year. And then, you know, you got a lot of those guys like your Blake Griffin. DeAndre Jordan's probably going to come off the books because he didn't even
I didn't even see him touch. Like, yeah, he was a nope. Did not play last night. I don't even think he played in game six
DeAndre
either.
He hasn't played the whole playoffs. He hasn't played even down the stretch run of the regular season. So, that's a lot of money that got to come off.
Right. I feel like I'm, I thought that it was good. It was Nets or bust. You know, I even told you that, in confidence. I was just like, man, this is y'all's year, dude. Y'all got this.
Yeah. And I think, when we talked about those things, Kyrie Irving was healthy in
for
those
sure.
discussions. So that, that certainly hurts.
So we saw, and Justin and I talked a little bit about this last segment, but we saw KD, come up and really just give life to the Nets and extending, play going into the overtime period. But then come down, at the end of overtime with the ball and the remaining possession in his hands, and then come up short and then throw an air ball. And I guess it prompted Justin to think in that moment that, Father Time had like, shocked right
yeah.
before his eyes and hit KD. And KD thinks that, he might not ever be, Justin thinks that KD might not ever be the same again, whereas I, on the other hand, I think it was just a moment of fatigue to where the guy has played, max minutes every minute of the game in game six and then played max minutes in game seven as well and just fatigued. Like, I didn't see any tweaks. I didn't see any types of grimace or of pain throughout the playoffs in terms of his Achilles. I just thought that the guy was really tired. He hit a tremendous shot, 5 minutes before that to seal the, not to seal the deal, but to extend play. I don't know. I thought it was a moment where I guess fatigue and, the night, tiredness just gets the best of us. And I keep thinking to myself, man, how are these guys able to just keep running up and down and playing every minute? Because Justin, I play in adult leagues and I run two sequences up and down the floor and I'm asking for a damn sub.
No, I totally understand. But Walsh, to give you an idea, I really felt that when KD took that shot, if there is a Father Time that lives in the heavens, it felt like they had literally stuck their arm out, touched KD right when he took that shot and aged him right before our very eyes, because the young, healthy KD hits that shot. And, granted, he played tremendously. I'm not taking that away from him, but I think we've seen the best of him.
But he hit that shot, and
that shot miss is the start of the decline.
He hit that shot.
Yeah.
5 minutes
Joe,
before.
Two things, right? I'll say number one, that was good defense by Jrue Holiday at the end, just to kind of get in his way. Like he knew what Durant was. He was going to try to go for the three pointer and win the game right there. So good defense there. Number two, I don't want to hear anybody talk about Giannis in the same breath as KD. He refused to guard him this entire series, even when PJ Tucker went off the floor. That is not a superstar player. That's a complimentary player along Chris Middleton. So I don't ever want to hear Giannis in that same breath as KD, because that was just an absolute punk move. They got the win in the series, but whatever. in terms of KD, though, like I don't – see, I feel like I can – I said this last night, but I can say this now that the series is over. I was absolutely terrified. Every time he had the ball in his hand at the top of the perimeter – and, would try to, drive to the hole. Like, again, this is a 7-foot dude that we're talking about. And, how shifty he is and, how he can kind of maneuver his way into the paint and everything, even at that size. Don't forget, 18 months ago he had that – or, geez, probably 2 years now, actually. But he had that Achilles injury. And, you know, I think, at least for me, I mean, pretty much every time I'm out or every time he's out on the court, I'm like almost, you know, I'm not a religious person, but, you know, if I am, it's in those moments, you know, where
right.
you're like, oh my God, please, please, you know, like you just see the way that he moves around. I would much rather, you know, Harden and Kyrie be that shifty with the ball
as right.
opposed to Durant, and then Durant just kind of find his spot, you know, set up, take the jump shot, because as we saw this postseason, it doesn't matter if the whole team is jumping at him while he's shooting, he's going to cash it. So, yeah, I mean, I, you know, this comes into play with the health of Harden and Kyrie. They couldn't, you know, be shifty with the ball at the top of the perimeter. So that made Durant, you know, exert a lot more energy. And, you know, a guy that just had a significant injury like that should not be playing 48 minutes a game.
No, I feel you there, you
know,
man.
I know he didn't in game six. He can't, they, you know, the starters came out with like 5 minutes, but you know, the 43 minutes before that, they were well exerted at 100%. So this is a nice little break for the guys, right? We saw last year after the bubble, how it kind of, it took its toll on LeBron and AD this year. So look, I'm not saying that the Nets endured anything like that. They had injuries that were tough, but this time off is certainly going to help them. And then next season, like let's start looking at that. You know what the Clippers do with Kawhi. Like let's bring up that dirty load management word for these guys.
Right. All right. Hey Walsh, I'm sorry to do this to you. We only got like 2 minutes left, but what's some of the green that we need in our pockets here today, man? We got so involved in the Nets.
Yeah, we'll go to another game seven out in Philly. I like the Hawks. If you can get them at +7, I like that number today. I just feel like this series has been pretty damn close. Seven for I mean, of course, the Sixers wouldn't be a 7-point underdog in this series, but I just feel like 7 points is way too much for this one. And, you know, the NBA just doing their greatest to, you know, just be, you know, be intelligent. But we're going to have the Western Conference final start before we're even done with the second round series today. Great maneuver. I don't know how that happened, but Suns favored by 4 in this one. I kind of like the Clippers today to get a money line win. They're +140 there. You know, all the kind of stuff with Chris Paul and stuff like that. Maybe it's a little distraction, but don't forget the Suns, they swept the Nuggets. So they've been off for a long time.
Lots of rest.
A little rust here. And look, sometimes that works. Sometimes, guess what? The team like the Clippers, who've been playing basketball lately, they're in their rhythm. They come out a little more on fire. So,
but no Kawhi.
First quarter line. You know, maybe a first half line, something like that, to get them early. I think that the Suns may be a little rusty coming out here today.
All right, he is the voice of Al Walsh. You can find him on Twitter at 14a.walsh, the best in the business, man. He breaks it to you down Barney style, as we like to say it in the military there. Just got a pulse on everything, and he's a little bit heartbroken, so make sure you get out to Twitter and just, you know, wish him well and make sure he's okay. Check in on my guy today.
Hey, in order to pass the time, Awesomeo has told me that I'm going to be doing more betting content, so look out for that, awesomeo.com. I don't know what's going to happen this week, but you know, just in the near future, more content coming. So.
Love to see it, brother. You deserve everything that you get, man. It is Al Walsh, and we'll talk to you on the other side, man. We appreciate you coming on.
All right. Enjoy your Father's Day.
You too, man. Hey, dude, you're a good dad to George. You're a good
dad
to George.
With the dog, yeah.
Absolutely, brother. Be good, man. We'll talk to you soon, dude. All right, there he goes, Al Walsh. On the other side, man, we'll break it down. I think we're a little bit of touch and go, but we got just the tip on the other side. Don't go nowhere.
There's a gateway in our minds that leads somewhere out there, far beyond this plane. We're reptile aliens made of light. Cut you open, pull out
all your pain. Little Sturgill Simpson bringing on Happy Father's Day out there. Man, that's a great line, man. We're reptile aliens made of light. Pull you out and suck out all, cut you open and suck out all your pain, man. Like,
That took me on a trip that I didn't know I was going to encounter.
So, it reminds me, like, every time I hear that song, one, it reminds me of my friend Jimmy Baxter.
Okay.
And it reminds me of my friend Kevin Barnett. Like, just some, there's not much country music in my life, influence in my life, but this is some of the.
See, I forget, East Coast. Yeah,
I got a lot of hip hop, man.
Yeah. Like,
you can go ahead and kill that. They're great producers.
Because, like, even I have, like, you know, this random country song.
Turtles All the Way Down by Sturgill Simpson, by the way.
Oh, definitely a classic. I mean, but it's just like, I forget, like, if you didn't grow up around it, like, why would you have a favorite?
Well, I mean, there was, don't get me wrong, there was country music in you know, in the town in Brunswick, Maryland. So I grew up in Brunswick, and then I went to Baltimore, and then went back to Brunswick for my senior year.
Yeah,
and there was country in there was country music there, but even when I was in Brunswick, I was influenced by hip hop.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. It's just Tupac's my guy. I'm sorry. No, Tupac, Nas.
Totally understandable, man.
You know, I do like the influence of hip hop from the from the South, UGK.
Outkast.
Outkast, especially, go down to Georgia, Outkast, they definitely had a big influence in my coming of, not coming, I was already of age, but they were really, they had some classics.
Good artists are good artists.
For sure.
I mean, even Nelly had his run,
Hey, I'm a sucker for cornrows and manicured toes, too.
I was going to say, we were all bumping it.
I am too, man. People know me, dude. I am a sucker for cornrows and manicured, I love it when you can make your elbows touch your toes, dog. I mean, I'll quote all the lines from that.
Let me say, Wags, that you do have some love on the text line here. People were agreeing with you that KD was just fatigued. I don't agree, because that shot, we were talking about it, that shot ended up being taken as a two-pointer.
That was a bad shot.
His toe was on the line already. It wasn't even a three. It would have just tied the game.
I'm just saying that it was. I don't think he's done. I think it was fatigued. That was definitely a bad shot. I don't think he's done. That was a bad shot.
All the time, man. Just
like to me, and I say that all the time. Like if you're going to take a shot that close to the arc, make sure it's. And God, who does? Jimmy Butler does this all the time. He takes a shot with his foot on the line, or takes a shot right inside the arc. I was always taught my coach that was just his pet peeve. Don't if you're going to. My God, take one dribble back and shoot the three. You know what I mean? Like that's what he would always say. So. Anyways, great hour number two there. Walsh coming on. Big shout out to him. Don't go nowhere. Hour number three, we got JD Lewis coming on at the bottom of the hour, talking a little bit of fantasy sports. It's in that, it's that time. Fantasy football's, starting to kick off here. Start doing your mock drafts and whatnot. But there's dynasty leagues out there too that people like me and JD and others, fantasy football savants, you gotta take in consideration. You're a real manager. It's not just fantasy anymore. Everything's real here with the Wagner Wire. 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com.